Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Peggy, for that playing.
All that good singing. It's nice to hear everybody singing to the Lord. This morning, I'd like to, I'm going to change the topic, and the Lord gave me the last minute here. We're going to look at John chapter 11. The reason why I chose this chapter to look at today is because this is a chapter that I had a wonderful opportunity to share with my dad. And I'd like to share some thoughts with it, with John chapter 11, with the fact that the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to read the scriptures to my dad. As many of you know, he's terminally ill, and the Lord has spoken through his heart to want to listen to the Word of God. And this is the first portion of scripture in the 27 years I've been saved that I've had an opportunity to read to my dad. So I'd like to share that with you this morning in John chapter 11. And I'd like to just read a few verses and then comment as we go along here. Beginning at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Let's just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank Thee for Your Word. And we just pray, Lord, as we look into it, that we might glean some words of comfort, encouragement, that might help us in our walk to serve You, Lord. We just thank Thee for Your Word, and we just pray, Lord, for Your help as we look into Your Word. We just thank Thee for this time together now. We just ask You to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. As I said, I had an opportunity to share this with my dad the other day. I was just talking with Roger a little bit earlier, and he was encouraging me to think of this fact. And this is such a simple fact that all we need to do is just point to the cross. Is, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives the increase. He's the one that baptizes. We don't baptize anybody. Yes, we can dunk them in water, but if their spirit and their soul hasn't repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no life in them. But all we need to do is point to the cross. And even in the general vicinity thereof, if I remember what Roger is saying, because the Holy Spirit himself will guide and direct. And I'm thankful for that, because it's not any strength that I have that I can direct anybody to salvation. It's not any strength I have, any wise words that I might have. It's the Word of God. And I have to say that there was a portion in this portion here that my father leapt. I could see a gleam in his eye when I read it to him, and I'll point that out when we get to it. But this is, a poignant story about our Lord, because I think he's giving us a little bit of an example through the life of and death, if you will, and resurrection of Lazarus, someone who is very close to, whom he loved very much. And I think that what he's doing in this chapter is he's giving us an illustration that we too can be comforted by. So I'd like to point those thoughts out as well as we go through this chapter. But at the same time, I think that there's a most wonderful point of all, and that is the fact that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And that's where we get our salvation, is when we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and realize that He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit, that He is the one and the only one that gives life in life eternal. So as we read in these first few verses, we see a certain man, it says, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. And this was the same Mary that anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. We see Lazarus here was a man of Bethany. But it says, therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. he whom thou lovest is sick. You know, you and I could put ourselves in Lazarus's position here. Our Lord is in heaven, we know, seated at the right hand of Father. And in this case, Lazarus was in the town of Bethany, but the Lord was off doing his ministry. He wasn't with him at the time. He was prior to that, but he wasn't with him at that time. And Martha and Mary sent to Jesus that he would come to Lazarus because he knew he was sick. They knew he was sick and possibly unto death. And reminds me of when we pray to the Lord for our loved ones that are sick. I pray for my dad. I pray more for his spiritual sickness than his physical sickness. I thank God that if it's through his physical sickness, he can bring him to understand his spiritual sickness and that he needs a Savior. I praise God for that. And so too with my own life, as I get older and as I see this body starting to break down, and as we all get older, we see that more and more, it makes us realize how futile and how pointless sometimes this life can be. It's going to end. This physical life is going to end in the physical sense. But in the spiritual sense, it's very significant. And that's really what we should be focused on, is not the physical, but the spiritual. But in this case, and in all cases, we do dwell on the physical because it's a reality. We have pain. We have suffering. And who wants to deal with that? We all deal with that to some degree, some worse than others. But who wants to deal with it? We want to be recovered from it. We want to be healed from it. We are all running from death to some extent or another. So we see in verse 3 that the sisters sent unto the Lord. Apparently she sent some messengers to him, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. But we see in verse 4, when Jesus had heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. That's an amazing statement. The sin is not unto death. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. But we know, in fact, that Lazarus does die. But he's saying this sickness is not unto death because he knows that he's going to resurrect him from the grave. Now, his disciples don't know that yet. Mary and Martha don't know that yet. But the Lord knows that. And he's looking ahead here, and he's saying that this sickness that he's going to experience is not going to be unto death. And he says, but for the glory of God and the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Brothers and sisters, our sickness is not unto death. It's not unto death. Think about that. Our sicknesses, whatever they do physically to us, will ultimately cause this physical body to die, but it is not unto death in the sense that we are spiritually going to live forever if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a couple of double themes here going on, the physical versus the spiritual. So we have to decipher the difference as we look at this portion. And it's very significant because when the Lord speaks, he speaks in the spiritual. The physical is only temporary. So it goes on to say here that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And praise the Lord, that's what we are here for. Our sickness that may lead unto death is going to ultimately lead to the death that we're in the grave, but we have victory over the grave if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to resurrect from the grave that we might bring glory to God thereby. That is the ultimate aim of our physical life. And ultimately our spiritual life. We're going to be resurrected. We have a promise from God that if we believe on him, we shall be saved and we shall be resurrected on the last day. So it's a wonderful thing when you look at it from the Lord's perspective. Then he goes on to say here, so when you think about this, this is one of the first points of the Lord's ministry to us here on earth. That his our deaths are going to be allowed to bring God glory. And ultimately, Lazarus' death was allowed to bring God glory. So keep that in mind. That's the first point. Then we go on to see here in verse 5. Now, as Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus loves you and me and everyone that trusts in him. Just as he loved me. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He hasn't forgotten us. Yes, we haven't seen him. Man has not seen him since he lifted up on that cloud in the first chapter of the book of Acts, and he ascended into heaven, and those disciples were comforted. Don't fret. This same Jesus whom you see leave, he's going to come again in the same way you've seen him leave, on a cloud. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He hasn't forgotten us. And as he loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, so he loves us. Praise the Lord, he loves us. He loved us unto death. Is that, we need more proof than that? He died on the cross for us. And that's the God of glory who became a man, who loved us unto death, even the death of the cross. So, then we go on to verse 6. It's when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Well, wait a minute. If he was so concerned about Mary and Lazarus and Martha, why didn't he just leave immediately? It says here that he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ has now abode 2,000 years in the same place where he is now. Hasn't he? It's been 2,000 years. He's in the same place. But remember, he loves us. He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and he loves each and every one of us who are here on this earth, who believe in him and trust in him. He has not forgotten us. Let me turn for a moment to John chapter 14. Just to remind ourselves of this fact. This is the Lord speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He has given us a promise. He's going away. He's preparing a place for us. And there's going to be a time when he comes back, and he will receive us back to himself, and we'll go with him and be with him forever. Yes, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, they missed the Lord for 2 days. He waited to come to them. 2 days. It's been 2,000 years we waited for our Lord, but he's going to come. He's going to come. He has promised, and he's coming. And again, just to refresh our memory, this favorite portion of ours, and I like to read it, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just to remind our hearts of God's promises to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. We're going to see here in a few seconds that Lazarus, the Lord told them, the Lazarus was asleep. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And as Mary and Martha sorrowed, and as perhaps each one of us here who have loved ones that were gone on before us, that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we sorrow. We sorrow for them. But he says, sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If you're a person here this morning that does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I hate to say it to you so frankly, but the Word of God says it for itself. You have no hope. But it says, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's us. If we live our lives and we end up like Lazarus, falling asleep, if you will, death, physical death, then also will sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Meaning that when he comes back on that cloud to the earth, he's going to bring those that have died before us with him. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So we who are alive, if the Lord should come right this minute, we are here, as we're sitting here, the Lord descends from heaven with all the saints that died before us, with them. And we're not going to precede them because they're already there. And as the graves open up, their bodies will resurrect first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Praise the Lord. For this we say unto you, verse 15 again, to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a comfort to know that we're going to be resurrected, isn't it? It's a comfort to know that our loved ones will see again in heaven, because they'll be resurrected too if they've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important for each one of us that we see our family saved and our friends saved. I want to see my dad saved. I think he might have a simple faith, but I just keep pointing him to the Lord Jesus, pointing to the cross. Each one of us, that's all we need to do is point to the cross. Remember, it's not in our will, it's not in our desire, it's not in anything that we can accomplish that will save a person from death and from eternal judgment. It's only the Holy Spirit, through His convicting power, through His telling of the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's through the Holy Spirit that convinces men of sin that they begin to realize that they need a Savior. And then they see that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. So we've seen here, going back to John chapter 11, in verse 5, we see that the Lord loves them. But even though in verse 6, He delays for a while, then in verse 7, we see then after that He saith to His disciples, let us go unto Judea again. And there will be a day very soon, brothers and sisters, that I believe the Lord Jesus Christ will send forth the archangel to give that trump that will bring us into heavenly glory with Himself as He comes down on that cloud. And I think that this illustrates to us right here of this wonderful, wonderful day that we are looking forward to, when the Lord Jesus Christ Himself returns to bring us with Himself into heaven, a place that He's prepared for us, and a place that He'll just be peace forever with our Lord. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, no more shame, no more sin. As we're believers in Christ, don't we find a struggle with sin? Every day we struggle with it, and it becomes even more so as we learn more and more about our frailties, about how wicked we are, and as we look into the Word of God, the perfect mirror that tells us what we really are in the presence of a holy God. We begin to hate sin more and more. But before we're saved, we have no idea. But God, through His grace and His mercy, reveals these things to us, and we look forward to that day when He Himself will be revealed, as we find in the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed. So we see then finally He decides to go to see Lazarus in verse 7. And then He goes on in verse 8, it says, His disciples said unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou again thither again? They're warning them, you know, they wanted to kill you the last time you were in that area. Aren't you afraid to go? And, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth, He's going to bring peace. He's not going to be afraid to come at all. He's just, with the look of His eye, this whole world will bow before Him. Bow before Him. But, you know, He had that same power then, and they were seeking to kill Him. But in verse 9, He goes on. This is Jesus' response. I like His response. He says, Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said He, and after that, He saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. So in verses 9 and 10 here, we see this response. It sounds a little confusing, but I think there's a verse that helps us clear it up. Turn with me back a couple of chapters to chapter 9 and verse 4. Chapter 9, verse 4. He says, this is the Lord's again speaking. He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. This is the time that the Lord has to work. While He was on the earth, His earthly ministry, and He said he must go about His work. But He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So then from that point on, He went on to speak to do the miracle that he was about to perform with the blind man. So in this particular chapter here, he says, he's basically telling us, I don't care about the dangers. The dangers aren't relevant. I have to do the work of my Father. And I must persist in that because that's what I'm here to do. And I have only so much time to do it. So he's puts himself forward to do the work that's necessary. And he knows he now has to go and resurrect Lazarus to bring glory to God. This is his purpose. Not just to show off his miracles. Not to just show off and do something. That's how men are. But he's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. And his purpose is to give glory to God, his Father. So we see in this verse 11 here, these things he said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may waken him out of sleep. Okay. But then his disciples respond, well, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. They're thinking he's talking about physical sleep. So they were confused. Disciples got confused quite often. We get confused quite often. This is a very challenging and difficult book to read. You know, it's not easy. And it's easy to get confused. And when the Lord spoke in this case, they were confused. They thought he meant physical sleeping. And then Jesus, howbeit, verse 13, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Solemn. But Lazarus is dead. Then he goes on in verse 15, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So he makes it clear to them, and I'm sure at this point in time the disciples became very somber. He's dead. He's not just sleeping physically. He's physically dead. And then the Lord tells them that he was glad that he wasn't there for their sake, so that to the intent that they might believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. So what is this all about? The disciples are probably more confused now than they were prior to this. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus Christ sets forth and goes to seek out Lazarus. And in verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Here they were still worried that they were, you know, the Lord was going to get killed. It wasn't the Lord's time yet, and the Lord knew that. The Lord knows when he was going to die. So we see here that Thomas and his fellow disciples, despite the fact that there was danger ahead, they decided to go. They felt it was a very dangerous situation. And they were prepared for the worst. They were ready to die with him at that point. Seems like it. We find out later that they scatter and they actually abandon the Lord when he does go before the trial and he finally gets crucified. But anyhow, from verse 17 on, we see the sorrow of different groups of people over Lazarus. In verses 17 through 18, let's just read that for a second here. We see the sorrow over Lazarus and the Jews that came from Jerusalem to pay respect. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Apparently, Lazarus was a very famous, very well-known person. He was close to Jerusalem. And many people came from Jerusalem to pay respect to him and to also comfort Martha and Mary in their sorrow. And in verses 20 on, we see the sorrow of Martha and Mary. Let's begin at verse 20. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. So Mary stayed behind, but Martha came along. And at verse 21, we see that she's frustrated. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She knew that the Lord had the power and the strength to perhaps heal him, but she had no idea that he was going to resurrect him. So she was frustrated. And in verse 22, he says, But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. We see her faith. She has faith now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith that he's going to do something, but she doesn't know what. And Jesus answered her in verse 23, Thy brother shall rise again. Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in a resurrection at the last day. So she had faith in the word of God. She knew the word of God was true to the fact that someday at the end there would be a resurrection. Not everybody then believed in a resurrection, but Martha did. She believed in the resurrection. So she believed in the word of God. And then Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is the portion I read to my dad. His eyes lit up. And I was reading it to him a couple of times, and after about the third time I read it to him, I was reading him out of the New Living Translation, and it says in verse 26, shall never die. They translate it, shall never perish. And before I could finish the verse, he perks up and he says, never perish, in his weak voice. And I was just so glad to hear that, because I think he got the gist of what was being said here. Brothers and sisters, all we need to do is just point them to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to point them to some ceremonial act such as the Lord's Supper or baptism or any other kind of acts like that. We just point to Christ, because Christ is the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It's that simple. I just praise the Lord so much that the gospel is so simple. We don't have to depend on anything we do. If we did, we would be failing all the time. We're in constant failure. But the Lord Jesus Christ is all we have to trust in. And in verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And then she goes on to say, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So we see that she has a twofold faith. She has a faith in the word of God. She knows the resurrection is true and that it will happen someday, although she was going to see it before her very eyes, momentarily. She believed in a future resurrection. As we do, we believe in a resurrection of the dead. But we believe in the first resurrection, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come from heaven, as we read in 1 Thessalonians, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But but not only does she have faith in the Word of God, but she has faith in the Son of God. She says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world, the Messiah. She trusted that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. And when she had said she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. So she went to call for Mary to bring her to the Lord. And she sent secretly a message to her. And in verse 29, we see now the sorrow of Mary. As soon as she had heard that that she arose quickly, and came unto him. As soon as she had heard that the Lord was there, she rose and came right to him. Now Jesus was not yet come unto the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. Apparently he had met Martha outside the town, and he was still there. So the Jews in verse 31, then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Now, so we see that the Jews that were with her went to the grave. But then in verse 32, we see that Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him and fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She has the same response that Martha did. And she goes to the Lord and she's speaking with him privately now. And then the Lord I think this is probably one of the most beautiful portions of Scripture. When you think about it, if he felt this way about Lazarus and Mary and Martha, he feels that way about each one of us as he's seated in heaven till that day he comes to take us to be with himself. Verse 33, the sorrow of Jesus. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. And said, "Where have ye laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus wept. He wept. He wept. They devoted, the translators and the writers of the scriptures, devoted that one little thought to one verse to give us pause to think about the fact that our Lord wept. He loved them. He loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus wept. And then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." They observed how Jesus loved Lazarus. They were awestruck that he would love him so much. So I think, too, the angels in heaven are awestruck by how much God loves us. So, too, I think the demons and Satan himself are awestruck at how much God loves us. I'm awestruck that God would love us so much. And as I said earlier, the more and more I learn about the rebellious heart of this man, I'm awestruck that God loves me. Jesus wept. Behold how he loved him. Verse 37. And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Oh yeah, there are always those that will question, won't they? And even today we have people that will say, "Well, if your God really loves you, do you think he'd be dying of cancer? If your God loves you, do you think he'd be suffering like you are because of your financial problems? The problems that you have, the physical problems, or whatever sickness you have, whatever troubles you have, do you think really God loves you to allow those things?" Brothers and sisters, I can tell you from the Word of God, he loves us. Even if he caused the blind, how have caused that even this man should have not have died? Brothers and sisters, we're all going to die. Some of us are going to suffer more than others. But the Lord loves us. And he'll be with us through it. Then finally, Jesus calls Lazarus forth. Verse 38, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. And it was a cave and a stone laid upon it. And then Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days." You know what? If we don't see the rapture, we will see death. And we'll go beyond stinking. We'll go down to dust. But the Lord will still resurrect us. By now he stinketh. It's been 4 days. Boy, does that give you more hope? The Lord just always pushes the limits for us to give us more hope. He stinketh. He's rotting in the grave. We're going to rot to dust, but the Lord will still resurrect us. And then in verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Here it is. This is what it's all about, to see the glory of God. And that's what this all is about. The glory of God before the angels. You know, we sometimes take it so for granted, the fact that we're really just We're all on this earth, but we're being observed by angels, principalities, and powers in heavenly places, all for the glory of God. It's not about us. It's about them. And as they're observing what we do here on earth, as we demonstrate our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, angels are awestruck. Principalities and powers are awestruck by the fact that we, who have not seen God, can believe and trust in a holy God that has given us his word and given us his Son, the Messiah, to deliver us from our sinful condition. So it's about the glory of God. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Do you believe that he has sent him? Well, I wonder if these people believe. We'll see later on tonight. But it says in verse 43, and when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. But Jesus saith unto him, loose him, and let him go. He came forth just by his word, by the Lord's word. That's the power of our Lord. That's the power that on the last day, when we resurrect, he will say, he will have that trump sound, and all the dead in Christ shall rise. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, just by the power of his voice. And every principality and power in heaven and in earth shall bow their knee before him because he is Lord. No, he wasn't afraid to go there in Judea then. And he won't be afraid to come back to the earth on that day because he will have full power and authority on this earth, and no man, no power will stand against him. We have that hope because it's God's word. He has said it. We have read it. We have believed it. Have you believed it this morning? Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? To look forward to that resurrection day when you'll be with Christ? Trust in him. I point you this morning to the cross of Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee for salvation that comes by him and him alone, and by thy Spirit, by thy power. We look forward, Lord, to the resurrection day when we shall be risen with him, and we shall go with him into heaven where he has prepared a place for us. Oh, Lord, we just thank thee so much this morning. We just ask you to part us with thy blessing. Look forward again to coming this evening to hear more from thy word. And we give thee thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.